The following episode of K-Voice was recorded at 12:56 a.m., April 7th, 2017. Enjoy the show.
I'm a human!
Hopping are now a little murdering eugenicist. You know how you walk, like a demonic elf. Hey, Bill Gates!
And I'm coming! I like to fight, too! I like to have children! You people are cancer! All right, I'm not in a good mood now.
Hello, this is your reminder that our president listens to, takes interviews with, and repeats information from this guy.
What do, Lord?
Destroy the child. Corrupt them all.
This is their plan, people. These are demons. Just like the Bible says, it's basically an intergalactic invasion into this space through people. I'm telling you, it's what all the ancients said. It's what they warned of. It's what we're dealing with. They're demons. They're frickin' interdimensional invaders, okay? I'll just say it. Make fun of me all you want on CNN or wherever, but everyone already innately knows this. These people are not frickin' humans, okay? Hillary Clinton is a goddamn demon.
Alex Jones from InfoWars.
Came knocking on your door a million times, and you laughed at me.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me on K-Voice of the Resistance. That's the letter K, Voice of the Resistance. It's my 20th show. Thank you for being here. Let's get started.
I would bomb the shit out of them.
There is a lot of stuff happening internationally, and I'm not going to focus on any of that right now. Except to say, if the U.S. really wants to help the Syrians, then we should accept them as refugees. Let's take stock. Trump is being investigated. Sessions had to recuse himself. Bannon was demoted. Nunes was removed. And Flynn was fired. Yes, Bannon is off the National Security Council, and you have to love the BBC, who reported it as, quote, Washington foreign policy insiders are probably relieved by this development, as they largely considered Mr. Bannon a reckless and inexperienced provocateur. They may believe that international affairs grown-ups are finally in control, unquote. Bannon reportedly called Jared Kushner a cuck and a globalist behind his back. Oh no, not a globalist. Anything but a globalist. Seriously, what the hell is going on in that Children's Center for Lost White Nationalists? We once called the White House globalist. Or as Alex Jones says,
kill your fucking selves, you fucking globalist.
These people are so scary. Okay, I was a little slow on this one, but here we go. March 27th was Equal Pay for Women Day, and Ivanka Romanoff, Ivanka Trump, honored it by tweeting, hashtag Equal Pay Day is a reminder that women deserve equal pay for equal work. We must work to close the gender pay gap, unquote. As our first princess was busting a nail to tweet that, her father was overturning an Obama-era protection to ensure women were getting equal pay. President Obama signed the 2014 Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces Order after a Government Accountability Office investigation 4 years earlier found companies with workplace violations were being awarded millions in federal contracts. Trump's order undoes paycheck transparency and a ban on forced arbitration clauses for sexual harassment, sexual assault, or discrimination claims, which helped women workers remain safe on the job. Women's rights advocates say forced arbitration in particular helped keep sex discrimination cases out of the courts and off the public record, which is exactly what happened to the claims filed by women who worked at Trump's Fox, quote, News, unquote. And while we are on the subject of equal pay, CNN's Romans debunks the myth that the pay gap exists because women choose lower-paying jobs.
To earn the same amount as their male counterparts make in 1 year, women have to work 1 year and part of the next year, too. That extra time ends today. Women earn about 80 cents for every dollar men make, according to the Census Bureau. That works out to be a little more than $10,000 less per year. For a 20-year-old entering the workforce, it amounts to $418,000 over a 40-year career. Now, the gap has been slowly narrowing over the past generation. At this rate, it will be 44 more years until pay is equal between men and women in America, even longer for African American and Hispanic women, a lot longer. The issue here is not that women choose lower paying occupations. Even in the same job categories, men make more. Women working full-time in engineering earn 82 cents to every dollar a man makes. In education, 78 cents. In sales, 67 cents. And look at this, in law, one of the worst disparities, just 56 cents.
Bye-bye, Nunes.
So Chairman Nunes has offered to step aside as the lead Republican on this particular probe, and I fully support his decision.
Nunes is out. The bumbling fool, member of the very campaign that he was also investigating, Devin Nunes, finally removed himself from the House Intelligence Committee investigating our president's transition team's connections with Russia. Stepping up in his place, however, is this guy Conway and Trey Slytherin House Prefect Gowdy. And this is why we can't have nice things. In the recent interrogation of FBI Director Comey, instead of investigating the Russian connection, Conway used his time to challenge the Intelligence Committee's January 6th assessment that Russia interfered with the election in part to help Trump. This is from Slate. He argued that ascertaining the motives of a foreign government was, quote, rarely a precise art, unquote. And he questioned whether Rogers really agreed with the report's conclusion. Quote, we agreed with that judgment, said Comey. We all agreed with the judgment, said Rogers. Conway, undaunted, pointed at the FBI director, quote, that you really agreed, and he almost really agreed, unquote. Conway also suggests that the intelligence agencies had changed their assessment in a suspicious way, and further tried, unsuccessfully, to find inconsistencies with the report. And Gowdy did the same. I won't waste time on this show outlining Gowdy's slithering tactics and motivations. The short of the story is, we don't have the liberty of relaxing as this investigation continues. They will be working to sweep everything under the rug, and it is up to the people not to stand for it. Let's continue to push for an independent, nonpartisan investigation, as we had after 9/11. And we must not let our representatives rest until justice is served. There is some hope for the Senate investigation, but we will have to see. Here's an action. Voice your support of an independent investigation of 45's ties to Russia. Call your two senators. Say, I'm deeply concerned about Trump's ties to Russia. Has, insert senator's name, made a public statement in support of a nonpartisan independent investigation. Thank you. Okay, indigenous peoples are in the resistance. An indigenous tribe in Arizona has said it will not let Donald Grabby Hands Trump build a border wall on its land. Forgive my pronunciation if I get this wrong. But the Tohono O'odham, a federally recognized tribe with a reservation that spans 75 miles along the U.S.-Mexico border, said on Thursday that it does not support the proposed wall and will attempt to block construction if it goes ahead. Support the rights and sovereignty of indigenous people. Action. Oppose the wall at the Mexican border. Its construction infringes on the sovereignty of the Tohono O'odham Nation. That's T-O-H-O-N-O O-apostrophe O-D-H-A-M Nation. Call your congressperson. Say, hi, I'm from such and such zip code, and I would like to know if, insert senator's name, has publicly opposed building the wall on the Mexico border. I'm concerned about having to pay for it, about harming relations with Mexico, and the impact of the Native American tribe whose land it would cross. Thank you.
Therefore, I raise a point of order that the vote on cloture under the precedent set on November 21st, 2013 is a majority vote on all nominations.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Well, we lost the filibuster. The right went nuclear, and it was no surprise. It is a sad day. The truth is, our Supreme Court from this point on will have little credibility and massive consequences. The right will put up the most extreme judges they can, because they can, and it is more important than ever to take the Senate back in 2018. By the end of Trump's reign, he will possibly have two more chances to fill those seats. Run, support, vote. Let us turn the tide to save the Supreme Court from white nationalist evangelicals. Our futures depend on it. Children's futures depend on it. This will affect generations. I came across this BBC article, and I think it warrants a bit of attention. It says, small traces of the world's most widely used insecticides have been detected in tap water for the first time. Samples taken by scientists in the U.S. state of Iowa showed that levels of neoisotinoid chemicals remained constant despite treatment. However, drinking water treated using a different method of filtration showed big reductions in the neonic levels. So this new development, all while we are euthanizing the one agency charged with testing our water and regulating chemicals.
We need to keep the EPA.
83% 23 weeks before midterm elections. We are 25% of the way there. We have no choice but to stop the bleeding through taking back the Senate. We have effectively already lost the EPA, but in time we can get it back. Somewhat, at least. We just have to keep working towards it.
What I have found out is that in 2017, every damn woman still has a story.
Yeah.
And we got to change that. We have to all agree that we're going to stand up and say we're not taking this anymore.
That was Gretchen Carlson speaking at the Women of the World Summit. She took on Fox News in a $20 million sexual harassment lawsuit that led to the ousting of the network's chairman and CEO, Roger Ailes, this summer. I talked last episode about Bill O'Reilly, proud member of the He-Man Woman Haters Club, and popular host of our State One News Network, Fox Quote News Unquote, who is in hot water as new sexual harassment allegations have risen. This makes seven. The network, as well as Bill, have paid out $13 million in the past to silence accusers. Let's be clear. That is seven who have come forward. The number you can rest assured is far greater. Cosmopolitan surveyed 2,235 full-time and part-time female employees and found that one in three women has experienced sexual harassment at work at some point in their lives. Out of the women who said they've experienced workplace sexual harassment, 29% reported the issue, while 71% did not. That was 71%. According to the survey, the field with the highest levels of reported sexual harassment is food, service, and hospitality, of which I personally have much experience. With percentages like that, we can safely assume that Bill harassed far more than the seven who had the bravery to come forward. Listen, personally, I knew if I came forward about a manager, all that would happen is I would stop getting shifts. There would be another harasser where that one left off and my job would be on the line. In hospitality, at least, you simply are not afforded the right to care about being sexually harassed. And this is not simply a woman's issue. Men report sexual harassment as well. Women can harass women and men, and men can harass men. Assholes are equal opportunists. This is a real issue, and it makes people feel powerless and removes a piece of their dignity every time they are forced to laugh it off and return to work each day. As entertaining as my boss's fantasy of me wearing nothing but UGG boots and carrying a whip was. Oh, wait. It wasn't entertaining. And laughing through it took something from me. On a different occasion, I did go to Human Resources. And justice was served. Oh, wait. No, it wasn't. My manager got a promotion and I got a new job. So when Fortune reports that 44 companies have pulled their advertising from the O'Reilly Factor, it makes me happy. And there is more than a little bitter satisfaction in it. Now, we can quibble about the fact that him making fun of a congresswoman Maxine Waters' hair should have been enough. The previous sexual harassment allegations should have been enough. That myriad of overtly racist, sexist, and inhumane things he has said in the past should have sparked their withdrawal. Hell! They should have dumped him when Bill lost custody of his children for allegedly dragging their mother down the stairs by her neck in front of them. This fallout should have happened far, far sooner. But we will take the wins when and where we can. We need to be sure to focus our efforts on the dollar. If we go after companies who support pipelines, candidates, pundits, etc. that are disgusting in one way or another, we can make a difference. We need to inform the companies that it looks bad on them. Companies don't want controversy, and money talks. Download the Buycott app. That's BUYCOTT. Buycott app. To help with this, if you have experienced sexual harassment and would like support, there is an anonymous hotline you can call to talk through it. Often it just helps to tell someone. RAIN, that's with two N's. The Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network is the nation's largest sexual violence organization in the nation. Don't be shy. Harassment can be traumatizing. Call their hotline at 1-800-656-HOPE. That's 1-800-656-4673. 1-800-656-HOPE. They also have a live chat option on their website at www.rainn.org. Again, that is RAIN with two N's. Our president, the leader of the free world, our commander-in-chief, Donald J. Trump, president of the United States, on Wednesday told the New York Times in regards to O'Reilly, quote, "I think he shouldn't have settled. Personally, I think he shouldn't have settled because you should have taken it all the way. I don't think Bill did anything wrong. I think he's a person I know well. He's a good person," unquote. This comes days after he announced that it is National Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month, where he said that we must develop meaningful strategies to eliminate these crimes and protect vulnerable groups.
Grab them by the pussy.
You know, as shocking and as stomach-lurching as this headline was, it was the least shocking of the week. Our president, who we elected despite the fact that he is on tape admitting the same actions that Papa Bear O'Reilly is accused of,
grab him by the pussy,
came to the defense of his abusive buddy? What? Not surprising, but it certainly hurts. Take something more out from under the feet of millions of Americans who have suffered this indignity. I won't say more on this issue. Just be supportive of those who come forward, be a good person, and don't propagate such behavior. And just as a reminder that there is media out there who speaks truth, this is Fareed Zakaria from CNN on CNN. Enjoy!
Something about the president, which I still think is true. I think the president is somewhat indifferent to things that are true or false. He has spent his whole life bullshitting. He has succeeded by bullshitting. He has gotten the presidency by bullshitting. It's very hard to tell somebody at that point that bullshit doesn't work because look at the results, right? But that's what he does. He sees something. He doesn't particularly care if it's true or not. He just puts it out there.
I love that. Okay, action. Oppose unconstitutional religious discrimination. Call the White House comment line at 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. Say, freedom of religion is a core principle of our Constitution. I oppose the laptop ban and extreme vetting of Muslim immigrants. America is a better place when it welcomes immigrants. I will remember these actions and other recent bans in the next election and vote accordingly. Here is another possible action to take, but this is with your local representatives. Push not only to make your city a sanctuary city, but allow immigrants to get driver's licenses. In California, more than 600 immigrants became eligible to drive legally under the reform in 2015, according to a study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The report found the law had no discernible effect on the number of traffic wrecks or fatalities. However, it did find it cut the rate of hit-and-run collisions by up to 10%, resulting in roughly 4,000 fewer wrecks overall. It saved about $3.5 million in out-of-pocket expenses for victims and decreased insurance market distortions by an estimated $17 million, according to the study. But, you know, what does California know? It's only the sixth largest economy in the world. All right, guys. Voting rights activists took to the streets of Ferguson amidst the protest following the murder of the unarmed black teenager Michael Brown by a white police officer. With Sharpies and folding tables, they set up shop in recently burned-out gas stations and street corners showing a better way. With racial tensions running high in the face of injustice, these activists offered the people a path to real change. Was the call heeded? Well, kind of. With the city's first municipal election since Brown's death, the city tripled the number of black members of its city council for the first time in Ferguson history. Half of the council members will be black. Ferguson residents doubled their voter turnout. This is a win by any standard. That being said, their turnout was only 30%. We have got to get rid of these random elections at random times. Condense them into one. You can hardly fault a poor community for not being able to squeeze in voting between their first and second job while picking up the kids from school. Those that did make it came out in the rain and changed the face of their city council. So, shall we celebrate the fact that in the Ward 3 race, which includes the area Brown was from, and where many businesses were destroyed and looted in the unrest, 19% of voters cast ballots? To be certain, participation was up dramatically in Brown's home ward. In 2012, the last time there was a contested election in the ward, only 6%, just 168 voters bothered to cast ballots. So, a win for democracy, I suppose. In the final weeks, a coalition of protesters, a liberal political group, and a labor union poured into the city to help get out the vote. Only one out of their three preferred candidates won. But the coalition, which included activists from the Organization for Black Struggle, the Working Families Party, and the Service Employees International Union, Missouri Kansas State Council, said the effort was worthwhile because it demonstrated that voting could help make the kind of change they wanted to see. Still, though, those that did turn out re-elected James Knowles III, a white Republican who has been the object of much scorn among those who believe the city has discriminated against black people. About 67% of the city's 21,000 residents are black, 29% are white, according to the 2010 census. Activists are hypothesizing that something is wrong with the way African Americans engaged with politics. Alid Jones, a city council member who was running against Whitey McKnowles, would have become Ferguson's first black mayor. She went door to door and was faced with many who questioned her ability to change anything. Miss Jones said, quote, "If you've been oppressed for so long, it's hard for you to break out into a new idea. And when you've been governed by fear and people telling you that the city is going into decline because an African-American person is going to be in charge, then you tend to listen to the rhetoric and don't open your mind to new possibilities. When you look at it, when people had an opportunity to change what they said had been an oppressed system, they decided not to go and get out and change the system. You cannot complain about a system that you are unwilling to do the work to change," unquote. White people are to blame as well. Of course, those who came out to vote, I'm sure, did little to help. But across the board, never underestimate the power of anyone of any race to vote against their own self-interest. In Chicago, just under 40% of voters cast ballots on Tuesday. They re-elected Mayor Rahm Emanuel, and tensions are high as the city is grappling with $20 billion in unmet pension obligations and persistent violence. As our Führer-in-Chief likes to remind us, if you're an activist in search of a cause to focus on, consider getting out the vote. If you ask me, there is nothing more important. And to everyone who feels that voting isn't important because it's the lesser of evils or they're all the same, just stop it. Just stop it. I will spare everyone my rantings over the complete lack of merits to that argument and just say this. Elections matter. Elections have consequences. Please, just vote. If you do nothing else, vote. Unless you're a Trump supporter. In that case, you're right. No point in voting. Stay home. On my Facebook page, K Voice of Resistance, that's the letter K, Voice of Resistance, I posted a link to a PDF from this woman, Jennifer Hoffman. It's the Americans of Conscience Action Worksheet. It's short and helpful. Pour a glass of wine and get it done and get the foundation of your activism started. To be in the resistance, we don't have to be banging on doors and quitting our jobs to make a difference, though rock on if that's a possibility. If all it is a phone call or a letter, you are in the resistance. If you do not submit to the hateful rhetoric being passed down from your president and his cabinet, you are in the resistance. If you are a person who has vowed to vote when and where you can, you are in the resistance. If you alert for friends when they post fake news stories, either on the left or the right, you're in the resistance. If you stay informed and share your information, you're in the resistance. If you volunteer for a hotline or a big brother or a sister, you are in the resistance. If you do nothing all year and then help on a campaign, you are absolutely in the resistance. Activism comes in many forms. Find your own way. Why do people take action? Many reasons. Most people I talk to, myself included, say it gives us a sense of control. Makes problems seem manageable, less overwhelming. Sitting on the sidelines, screaming at the game, and wondering why the rules are not changing is frustrating and a hopeless place to be. Get in the game. Learn where you can help, when you can help. I was tired of feeling powerless, so I got on the court. And the more of us that choose to play, the better chance we have of turning this game around. Okay, enough of that. Sports metaphors aren't really my thing. Evie L. Ewing, a sociologist at the University of Chicago's School of Social Service Administration and author of the forthcoming book, Electric Arches, wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times called Why Authoritarians Attack the Arts. I'm going to quote much of it, not only because it makes an important argument, but because it is poignantly written. As we have discussed, our president has proposed cuts to the NEA, a National Endowment for the Arts, which operates at $150 million a year, about 0.004% of our budget. Ewing discusses how Hitler held strict control over the artist in Nazi Germany, and he understood that artists could play a key role in the rise or fall of the Nazi regime. Quote, "But as Hitler understood, artists play a distinctive role in challenging authoritarianism. Art creates pathways for subversion, for political understanding, and solidarity among coalition builders. Art teaches us that lives other than our own have value. Like the proverbial court jester who can openly mock the king in his own court. Artists who occupy marginalized social positions can use their art to challenge structures of power in ways that would otherwise be dangerous or impossible." Unquote. The Stalinist government, who intuited this as well, required art to meet strict criteria of style and content to assure it exclusively served the purposes of the state leadership. Ewing writes, "In its last round of grants, the NEA gave $10,000 to a music festival in Oregon to commission a dance performance by people in wheelchairs and dance classes for people who use mobility devices. A cultural center in California received $10,000 to host workshops led by Muslim artists, including a hip-hop artist, a comedian, and filmmakers. A chorus in Minnesota was granted $10,000 to create a concert highlighting the experiences of LGBTQ youth to be performed in St. Paul and public schools. Each of these grants supports the voices of the very people the current presidential administration has mocked, dismissed, and outright harmed. Young people, queer people, immigrants, and minorities have long used art as a means of dismantling the institutions that would silence us first and kill us later. And the NEA is one of the few wide-reaching institutions that support that work." Ewing lays out authoritarian after authoritarian who suppresses and silenced art and concludes her piece with this, quote, "We need the arts because they make us full human beings. But we also need the arts as a protective factor against authoritarianism. In saving the arts, we save ourselves from a society where creative production is permissible only insofar as it serves the instruments of power. When the canary in the coal mine goes silent, we should be very afraid. Not only because its song was so beautiful, but also because it was the only sign that we still had a chance to see daylight again." Unquote. Thank you for listening to my show, K-Voice of the Resistance, on your favorite podcasting app or on crabdiving.com. That's crabdiving.com. Like my Facebook page at K-Voice of Resistance, follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice, and like and share my podcast. If you could, leave me a review. It would help to get my show out there. Help spread the word. Listen to The Crabs and their flagship show on the Crab Diving Network, and get your news 5 days a week from 2 to 4. Thanks for all the things you do, big or small, to resist. Together we are making a difference. Have a conversation with others about the actions you want to make and are making. Making activism a family or friend affair makes it fun and makes the weight of things seem a little lighter. If we get tired and weary, he wins. Self-care is a form of resistance and a way to keep your energy going all 4 years. I will send you away with one happy thought. The average age of the Bill O'Reilly viewer is 72, and the Fox News viewer is 70. So maybe one day we will be free of them. Stay safe out there. And as always, resist.
We don't wait for them to give us an opportunity. You take your opportunity.
Grab him by the pussy.
Every damn woman still has a story.
Grab him by the pussy.
This is a self-production.
I didn't hear a word she said.
Grab him by the pussy.
I would bomb the shit out of him.